John chapter 11, and we'll begin reading this morning at verse 1. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We'll stop reading there. This morning, I'm going to bring a lesson that's perhaps a little different than what I normally do at this hour. However, time is on our minds. This morning, we've lost an hour of sleep. In fact, it didn't happen today, but I dare say that there were there may be some folks who may show up late to church because they forgot to switch the time on their clocks. But as I was thinking about it and kind of fretting over it a little bit myself, you know, concerned that I might look at the wrong clock and show up late to church this morning, begin to think about the fact that Jesus is never late. Jesus is never late. We never like to, at least I never like to, going back and forth with the clocks and the time and that sort of thing. I wish they'd just leave it alone. It'd be perfectly all right with me. Especially the way that the time is now, so it's not dark at 5 o'clock in the evening and that sort of thing. But we live in a country where they've decided to do that. And so we go back and forth, and you got to adjust. Your body has to adjust. And after a little while, we'll get used to this new time change and all that sort of thing. But our Lord is above time. He's beyond time. Before time was, there was God. And before time ever came into being, there was God. You and I were bound by time. Our lives are run by clocks. We've got things going on, things happening in our lives. We've got jobs that we've got to work. We've got appointments we've got to keep. We've got calendars and clocks and all that sort of thing. But God's not bound by any of that. God's not bound by any of that. Notice what happened here. Lazarus was sick. And there's so much in this passage that I love, and I'm sure you do too, in John chapter 11. His sisters Lazarus, you know, sick, and his sisters sent unto the Lord. Verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. There are times in your life, times in the lives of your friends that you're so sick or they're so sick that they can't even get word out to the Lord. And so someone needs to pray for them. Praise God for the sisters of Lazarus who thought to seek out the Lord. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I thank God for people who pray, for people who pray for others, for people who are praying for you and people who are praying for me. I thank God for that, and I pray for others. And we ought to be like that. And oh, how the Lord loves his people. Jesus loved Lazarus, and Jesus loved Mary and Martha. And if you're one of God's people today, Jesus loves you too. I believe that. And here's the beautiful part of it. When this was written and when this happened, you and I weren't born. But if you're one of God's elect, he loved you then just like he loves you now. You have never been outside of the love of God. You see, our God wasn't waiting for you to do something great in your life before he loved you. We love him because he first loved us. They reached out to the Lord. And when they reached out to him, they expected for him to get there now, if not sooner, didn't they? And how many times in our life do we have something that's going on that we want it taken care of now, if not sooner? But understand something, that our will is sometimes not God's will. And as we perceive things, it may seem to us that God is too late. It looked that way to Lazarus's sisters by the time he got there. Oh, beloved, look at what happened. By the time he got there, Lazarus had died. And not only had he died, he'd been dead for 4 days. In verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In other words, Jesus, you're late. You're late. Had you been here, my brother had not died. Sometimes we, in our prayers, we may think the same thing. We're praying for somebody to get better, and they don't get better. We're praying for God to fix a marriage problem or a financial problem, and it doesn't seem like things are going as quickly as what we want them to. A problem on the job. A problem with an ache or a pain. A problem with a surgery. Whatever the problem may be, whether big or small. And by the way, big or small is only relative. To who it is you're talking to. A minor surgery, for instance, is only minor to the person who's not going through the surgery. Right? It's a major surgery, regardless of what it is, if you're the one that has to go through it. At least it seems that way, doesn't it? Right now, I've got this little thing that's really bothering me. It's the smallest of things. You wouldn't even notice it by looking at me, but I've got this sty right here in the corner of my eye, and it hurts like everything. It's a small thing, but boy, it feels large. It feels large, and it just started like a couple of days ago. And I've put hot compresses on it, and I've looked at WebMD, and I'm praying about it, and I'm just trying to get that pain to go away. But it seems small, but ooh, it hurts. It hurts. What we see here in John chapter 11 is that in the plan and purpose of God, Jesus wasn't late. He was right on time. The time change may mess us up a little bit in our daily routine. We may have lost some sleep last night. An hour is a big deal, right? I mean, we feel it. My kids got up, you know, and this generation's a little different than previous generations because the clocks change automatically on the iPhones and all that. So my kids barely noticed, except for the fact that when I woke them up this morning, they felt more tired. And on the way coming to church, I mentioned something about the time change and the light bulb came on. They said, oh, that's why we're so tired. We lost an hour of sleep. It does affect us for a little while, and then we get used to it. But it seems like a big thing, but nothing is too big or too small for our God. We just have to realize, and when we pray, we have to understand that when we're asking the Lord for something, that He may not answer our prayer exactly the way that we want Him to. Or the way that we think He'll answer it. In thinking about this and considering this thought, if we go into the book of in the book of Second Peter chapter 3. In Second Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse number Let's start with verse 1 here. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord," verse 10 says, "will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Here we are living in this time that's about 2,000 years past the time that Jesus left this world. And that seems like a long time. It seems like it's time for him to come back already. And we think, well, what's going on? Why haven't you come yet? But we've got to understand that God's not moving according to our schedule. It's not really been as long as we think it is. Though when we look at it in the light of 2 Peter chapter 3, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If he left about 2,000 years ago, that's only what? About the day before yesterday. He's not been gone that long. But he is coming back, just like he said. He's not forgotten about us, and he's not late. He's not late. He's coming. He's coming. He's not slack concerning his promises. Oh, he hears our prayers. He knows where we're at in life. He knows what's going on in this world. He's not in the throne room of heaven, wringing his hands, wondering if there's anybody on this big old world that's going to follow him. He's not worried about what's going on in Russia or Ukraine, Iran or Iraq. He's not concerned about none of that. He knows. He knows about Biden. He's not looking for any one particular party to save this country. No, he's right on time. He's right on time. And when we pray, when we seek the Lord, we must understand that he's never late. He's never early. He does hear us. And in Matthew chapter 6, kind of bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Through 13, he says, "After this manner therefore pray ye. And then he gives us this model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? Well, in essence, the same way it's done in the earth, with this one major difference. As I read this, I believe the major difference is in heaven, there's nobody who complains against the will of God. There's nobody who questions the will of God. There's nobody who tries to oppose the will of God. And so when we think about, and as we pray, Lord, this is what's on our hearts, this is what's on our minds. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Knowing, beloved, that God knows what's best, and He's never early, He's never late, but always, always, every time, He's right on time. May God add a blessing to His Word, and I hope this has been a great comfort and encouragement to us as we consider not only the time change, but how great our God really is. Brother Barry, would you please pray for me?